they might think, damn, Pat McAfee can play his ass off on the guitar, where I'm just faking it. You know, a lot of power chords, a lot of heavy ripped and heavy pom,
yeah,
like that. And I make up a lot of my own stuff. But, and same goes with drums. I can carry a basic beat all day long. So usually if I'm jamming with somebody, I get stuck on the drums because I got an internal metronome. Yeah, man, great seeing you guys. Rick, it's always great seeing your smiley, happy face.
You know it, Pat. Great seeing you. Bud, I appreciate you being on. And just, you know, kind of going to that whole guitar riff thing. So when you listen to the beginning of the podcast, that's actually Mark's little Star Spangled Banner riff that he does. So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, man, I was able to do all that music, even the intro music, our theme song, so to speak, on GarageBand. That's one of the things, yeah, that's one of the things my mom blessed me with. She goes, hey, I know you're sports. I know you're outdoorsy, but you're going to learn to play an instrument. You know what? I used to go into those violin lessons, and then after middle school, she goes, you can play whatever you want. It's one of those things that really stuck with me. It's probably one of the best things besides being a great mom that she could have done for me. You know, it's a lifetime worth of joy. Even if you never get, and I did play on the stage and get in the studio a little, but even if you don't, if you're just you know, shredding in your room by yourself, it's a great thing to have in your toolbox just to pass the time and get away from whatever. You know, I really appreciated that. And
you know, playing an instrument is basic dude stuff. I don't care if it's a recorder, you know, but learning how to play something, and that's where I started violin, by the way, too.
Yeah.
I'm a violin geek, violin nerd. I even had a solo in elementary school. Yeah. And even back then, though, I was faking it. Sheet music in front of me. I knew when to turn the pages. I wasn't reading a single, not a single note.
Can't beat that, man.
Yeah. Faking it.
Hey.
Well, good. It's hard to fake. So, if you're playing something, that means you got a good ear. Playing it and just plucking and knowing what you're doing are two entirely differently, you know, things.
Right. You know, that rhythm.
Yeah.
If you're missing that rhythm, yeah, it's all flat.
Yeah. That's great. That's some of that basic dude stuff that we're always seeing that everybody seems to enjoy. But, you know, there's a lot of dimensions going on there. You can't just be one guy.
Well, and you know, it's funny because on a lot of podcasts, I talk about the importance of having interests outside of, you know, like just gunslinging or whatever your profession is. It's good therapy and it helps, you know, exercise the poetic lobe of our brain. And I think I like people who are interested because they are interesting, you know, because if you're interested, whatever, it could be, you know, woodworking or, you know, tuning the carburetor on your lawnmower, whatever it is, you know, just to be interested and learning that thing makes somebody interesting if they are interested.
I think that's a big thing, Pat, you know, is a lot of guys out there, you know, they get stuck in that mundane rut. And especially when you look at guys that transition from the military. So you're kind of used to having your tribe with you.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden that's pulled out from underneath you. And it's like, what do you fall back to? So it's having, whether you want to call it hobbies, interests, or whatever, to kind of keep that, you know, brain going, that activity going, and then just kind of stem things from there.
Yeah, man. It's very important, especially for it's great therapy and it's great to have hobbies that you could go to and spend, you know, not all day. Like for instance, if golf is your hobby and you go out with a foursome, I mean, bro, that could be 6 hours in a day.
Oh yeah.
I could pick up the guitar and play for 30 minutes or get on my sketch pad and draw for 30 minutes, something like that. So it's great to have those hobbies that you could just pull off the shelf and attack, just go into that 30 minutes of therapy.
How many times out at the range have you gone, oh, there's the red-tailed hawk or there's some Fruit Loop bird I've never heard of. And I'm like, all right. Yeah. I mean, it's like,
I have to take your word for that. Yeah.
I think you were out there when I said, oh my God, it's an indigo bunting.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, it's a freaking indigo bunting. Everybody. And people are looking at me like I got a dick growing out of my forehead.
I'm like, hey, if that's what you say it is, Roger, yep, we'll go with it. You know?
Easy hobby and it never ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of similarities to like hunting because you got to have a keen eye. You got to look in the shadows. You got to know where these things live. Those small migrators live in those wax myrtles. So you could identify, even if you don't know what the bird is, you could figure out, well, that's probably a warbler a type of Phoebe, a gnat catcher, or a bunting, or a grosbeak based on the foliage itself.
When did you start watching birds? Was that, was like early on, wasn't it?
Yeah, like maybe 10 years old. I had a exciting encounter the other day, RCW, pair of RCWs in my front yard. So red cockaded woodpecker here in the sand hills, endangered species, and I was fired up. Because a lot of people think they see them, but they don't know the difference between a pileated, a hairy, a downy, a red-bellied, a red-headed, a ladder-backed. But I was able to run inside and grab my grab my zoom lens and get a full frame picture of it too. So
nice. You know, all the time I spent down at Bragg, I never saw a red-headed one. Now I heard about them all the time.
Different than a red cockade.
Is that the one that they're always talking about in Fort Bragg that's endangered? And
well, red cockaded, you can't even see the red on its head unless you're right up on top.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't know. Right. I never saw one. Yeah. They talked about them all the time. I never saw one.
Just got to go off the sign and call it good, man. Yeah, so, hey, this is where he lives at. Lives. Yeah.
Well, that's one thing that's very interesting about all your pages is you go into a lot of different things. I know you got the bird watching, the sketching, and some of that stuff's pretty impressive. I've seen some of those things on some of the documentaries that you've done. And you got the music thing going on. And then you're a big muscle car guy, right?
Oh, I love me. Oh, yeah. Muscle cars, bro. Oh, I'm looking for another one. I'm looking for another one. I figured out that I have room in my garage.
Oh, yeah.
For another one.
So what are you looking for?
Well, you know, almost anything between 65 and 70 that's not dilapidated. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not particular. I'd rather have GM, you know, Pontiac, Chevy, something like that, Buick. But I'm not particular. We kind of found a Barracuda that we might go look at pretty soon.
Nice.
I'm not going to say too much about that because I don't want anybody to scarf that up from underneath of me, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, here's the thing, Pat. I got to tell you, man, like the Super B. Yep. And that big old wing on the back, man, there is some type of nostalgia about that car that you just look at it and go, man.
Yeah. But those are unobtainium too, you know, like unobtainium. I would love to have an unobtainium car, but let's say like a, you know, a 67 Ford GT 350 fastback unobtainium. They're out there, but you know, 150 to 250 grand. I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm looking, you know, in the couple grand, you know, the maybe 15K ish, you know, 15 to 25, somewhere in there. So I could get something pretty nice.
Are you looking to work on it at all? Or are you just looking?
Yeah, sure. It could be a bucket of bolts, really, as long as it's complete. I don't want a Frankenstein car. I don't want a resto mod. I want a matching numbers car that isn't a complete, you know, rust bucket. It could be leaking out of every orifice because I can fix that shit. Basic dude stuff, you know, that stuff can be fixed, but there's something about, like, for instance, for those people who don't know, I have a 1965 Pontiac GTO and it's a matching numbers car. So all original drivetrain, engine and everything. And people have said, oh man, you need to freaking put a, you know, a crate motor in that. I'm like, why would I do that? Yes, of course I would have 700 horsepower in it then, but I would be relinquishing the nostalgic properties of that automobile. I mean, that's what renders it or makes it as cool as it is, you know, firing that sucker up and hearing that engine that it was born with, you know, hearing it purr and hearing that throatiness of it and feeling that drive. So I've done a lot of work to it and replaced a lot of parts, but they're all OEM parts. They're all the original, but new parts, like front end rebuild and gas tank and, you know, stuff like that, or whatever, all the things.
Now you also like the new cars as well. Didn't you have, you had a couple muscle cars that were on the newer side, right?
Rentals.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll keep that in mind next time I see you working one of those. Yeah.
I love to rent muscle cars, like the Challengers or Super Sport Camaros, and man, I will burn those tires to the freaking earth. Oh my God, man. I am a donut master. Oh man. And they, you know, bro, they pack a punch. I mean, That's a lot of ponies in a vehicle. You know, when you're talking a rental car, you're not going to get super high performance. But even that Super Sport Camaro, I think he's pushing like 450 horsepower.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe five. That's a lot of ponies, bro. You know, and the way they handle and everything, whew, those are dangerous.
Yeah, the new cars definitely have that handling side. They just sound better. You know, my dad had a 49 GMC pickup truck that he, it was a farm find. Pretty much slapped that together, you know, worked on it for 15 years. And as soon as he had it running the way he wanted it, the way he was, that was time to get rid of it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And he started working on a few other things. He had a 1969 Chrysler 300. It was like 19 and a half feet long. It was a coupe and it was all steel. And that thing was badass.
Yep.
Same deal, but he hung on to that one a little bit longer. So
yeah, they're still out there. You know, you think about how many of these cars were made, like that GTO I have. There was only 50,000 of them made, and that was 55 years ago.
Yeah.
So you know, you want to hang on to something like that, and you don't want to ruin the original properties of it. If you can, you know, I always tell guys, keep it as original as possible. You know, I mean, you could still fix them up, but parts are available, OEM parts that you could bolt on. And
so there you go for the listeners out there. You know, Pat Max looking for some new muscle. If you guys get something stuck away somewhere, you know, probably shoot you a message on the IG or something.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah. There you go. There it is. So hopefully your inbox is blowing up with all kinds of decision selections. And hey, Pat, I wanted to kind of dive into something, just kind of talk about the, you know, the transition process and just kind of the veteran entrepreneurship, because I think that's a big topic that's kind of missed, especially for guys getting out, you know, lessons learned from you, kind of whatever you want to cover on that one.
Well, I could cover a lot on it because I personally made all of the mistakes, you know, so I made a bunch of mistakes after retiring. Number one, I probably retired too early, but I had to do it for sake of family. Mm-hmm. So I missed it. And then when you miss that, you kind of go into a rut. When you retire, the typical course of action is pick that low-hanging fruit. What's dangling in front of your face right now? What job is for me right there now? Which I don't advise against because people have to pay bills and such. However, you can start, you know, a road to be down that road to being an entrepreneur, even if you're working for the man still. Let's say you're doing government contract stuff or what have you. And you could start small, you know, with a YouTube channel or even a blog or something like that, or developing a widget. The other mistake I made was eggs in one basket. Big, big mistake. And it bit me in my ass a couple of times. One is when I retired, I worked for a corporation. Low hanging fruit, government stuff. I had a salary. I was working with retired military folks, felt warm and cozy. Comfort zone, but mediocre. You know, there was no fulfillment in it, you know, and that's one thing that retired military guys especially need is that fulfillment. They need that mission, you know, that mission statement. So I was definitely missing that. In a couple of years, just over 4 years of that investment working for that corporation, I got laid off. That's a foreign entity to, you know, military guy doesn't ever concern himself with job security, nor did I when I retired and was working for this corporation. Because I felt like I was still part of the military because I was working for the military still. So when I generated my own business, I went back, same mistake, low hanging fruit, myself working government contracts, you know, so government, because it was paying the bills. Mm-hmm. Big mistake, because then in 2013, Obama administration, what happened to a lot of people out there who have been retired know what I'm talking about. And even military guys who were trying to get training in 2013, what happened was sequestration. So all government funding for training and travel got cut. So the light switch went out for me in 2013, 7 months, no work. So credit card bills, racking up, that kind of thing. So once again, eggs in one basket. I wasn't diversifying. I didn't have any other backup plan. No contingency plan whatsoever.
So you were just doing all government contracts up until 2013?
Yes. Yep. Okay. Almost exclusively. Not necessarily, but almost exclusively. You know, I talked to other guys in the industry, and they said, well, we learned that lesson before, too. So that's why they're only doing open enrollment. Mm-hmm. Because that work is always there. The other thing that I learned was with whom am I going to align, you know, partner up with? Because that bit me in the ass too, you know, not vetting sources good enough. You know, I got robbed by a promoter. A lot of people know about that. That was 2016, 17. But it, at least I was still diversifying then. You know, I had other projects. I developed the combat strength training program, had a couple books. I did a couple DVDs, those kind of things. Now, you know, for the past four years-ish, it's all my own, everything. All my own admin, everything. You know, it's all freaking me.
And so it's a bear, man.
Yep, it is. It's 7 days a week. But the thing is, I'm very, very happy right now. I'm in a good place because I've got, well, I've got T-Max where I train guys. Mm-hmm. I got the combat strength training where I train guys all over the world in my fitness program. I sell the product, the bands, and stuff like that. I've got an online coaching group, a Patreon, to keep the Blaze Alive coaching squad. And then, you know, a storefront with shirts and mugs and all that kind of stuff. Never again will I have all my eggs in one basket. I mean, hell no, man. And the thing is, when opportunity knocks, I'm not saying jump at the opportunity, but maybe just shove it into that pipeline. When your pipeline's full, you could probably find more room in there, you know, to shove something else in. If it sounds good, you know, you don't want to burn or nuke bridges and say nope just like that. You at least want to...
At least keep the dialogue open.
Yes, thank you. Yep. Keep that dialogue open and don't just, you know, flush it away, because you never know what can emerge from that. I'm in a good place right now, but I left a long trail of failures behind me, which a lot of people do when they're entrepreneurs and working for their own. Nobody ever just skates through the process. You know, you have to have a long line of falling flat on your dick and then recovering from it. Not giving up, not saying, damn it, well, that's it, you know, I'm done. But learning from it and then getting better from that, you know, bettering from that experience.
Yeah. So was it you reaching out to people, or was it people reaching out to you, or a combination of both to kind of get things going? You know, so you said, hey, you kind of got bit in the ass by one guy there, you know, kind of starting an open enrollment, you know, trying to get the word out. Because I know we were talking before, the whole new to social and all that other stuff. So what was kind of some from your standpoint to get the word out that you were out doing your business?
Well, having a promoter wasn't a bad thing because they were getting the word out to everybody. So it wasn't a bad thing. It was doing very well for me. And there are good promoters out there. And I thought mine was good too, but he turned into a freaking shitbag. But he helped, you know, market me as a product. Mm-hmm. But I didn't stop with him. You know, I built very aggressively a YouTube channel, you know, for instance. And the YouTube channel had a lot of shooting stuff on it. And then made sure that I was putting out the right information on social media. And I'm relatively new to social media still compared to, you know, a lot of guys who retired at the same point I did. I mean, I retired in 05. But I didn't start on social until 2013, right around there. I mean, I had none of it, no Facebook, anything. I had a YouTube channel. That was it. but I learned how to leverage that, you know, because it grew substantially. And then I figured out how to, you know, trim the fat and put out content that my audience wanted. So I was able to generate my own marketing team, and it consisted of me, basically, just me. But it worked, you know, it worked well, and I'm very thankful. And the other thing is, you know, getting the word out, I volunteered, I did a lot of, like, SWAT conferences, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. Yep. So the good thing about those is, number one, you're giving back, you know, to the LEOs out there who want good training, because you're not charging them a freaking thing, you know, you're not getting paid for that. SWAT conference might pay your per diem, but you're not getting paid for it. But, you know, you can't generate revenue through that because they're seeing the product that you're putting out and they're like, man, we got to bring this guy back to Texas or Kansas or wherever the SWAT competition was or SWAT conference. So those are beneficial. But you have to realize that when you're working in a capacity like that, that you are, you know, you're representing yourself. So you can't, you know, you can't fuck around. You got to present a really good freaking product, even though you know, you're not getting paid for it. So you've got to really push and make sure that everybody is seeing exactly what you are capable of. They understand the message that you're putting out, that it's palatable, that it's relevant, that it's current, and that people are benefiting from it.
I know, at what point did kind of CJ come on and start, you know, you guys start getting together and doing stuff there?
Yeah, so for the people who don't know, that's a really cool relationship that we have. So CJ Ortiz online, his moniker is the Metal Motivator, right? I think it was about like 2017-ish, 16. He was commenting on some of my videos, especially the burnout ones, because I'm always freaking jamming metal, right? So just cranking out the metal and doing burnouts in these muscle cars. And his note, he would write, his comment was, "It's good to see someone motivated by metal." And I was thinking, man, that is so cool. And I would click on his profile and I was like, who is this guy, man? The Metal Motivator, that's so cool. So, you know, we started chatting online and not even really collaborating. He moved from Texas back to North Carolina. And we linked up one day, drank some beers, and we were just haphazardly talking about a podcast. Now, at the same time, there was a guy, it was at the Growler Shop in Southern Pines. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy inside. He said, "Hey, Pat Mack, cool, man. I'm a fan of yours." And I said, "Well, come out and have a beer with us." He's like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah, bro. Just he's an SF guy, man. Come on, have a beer with us." So CJ didn't know him. I didn't know him. CJ thought he was a buddy of mine. I'm like, "Nah, bro. I just met him inside here." And so he's sitting there listening. And CJ and I are talking about this podcast. And we're cracking up. And this SF guy said, "Dude, this is the podcast right here. What you're doing right now, you should be recording, because I would listen to this, because this is gold." But it wasn't much longer after that that we said, "Hey, let's try this thing out," you know. Mm-hmm. And then it's funny because, you know, CJ, he's written all the books about guys like you and me, and read all the books. I'm sorry, and he's, you know, 100% civilian, but he considers himself a tier one civilian.
Yeah, I've heard him say that. I love that.
And one of his best quotes, and I love this because this could be like on your whiteboard as you're exiting your home in the morning. "In whatever you do, don't suck." You know, it's as simple as that. I mean, how freaking simple is that? But I love that because it's a great message to take with you throughout the day. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say be great. She says, "Don't suck." Too many times, though,
yeah.
You listen to a podcast, right? Especially if it's like us, and, you know, like knuckle dragger, retired freaking special ops guys. And they're like, "Get some, freaking go out there and push it. Do push-ups. Keep the grind going." You know, and it's like over the top, man. It's like, "You got to be great. Don't just accept mediocrity. You got to be great. Not good, but great." Ours is, "Hey, just don't suck.
Just keep grinding after it, you know." And right. I mean, it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know when Rick and I came up with this idea, it was pretty important to us that it wasn't like that all the time. You know, it wasn't gun stuff. It wasn't easy to get sucked into that with the way things are now. But that's one thing I love about your guys' podcast is it's kind of like that. There's no format. The format is there's no format. We want interesting people to come on. And I think it's working great for you. You know, we kind of ponied on that a little bit, you know, based on what you guys were doing.
That's a clever format. See, like CJ will come to my house, and one of the things that we try not to do is we try not to talk before the podcast. We try not to catch up. You just set your shit up. I'll set my shit up. I'll make you some coffee. I'll feed the dogs. Let's not talk. Let's wait till mics are hot, and then we're going to start jacking our jaws. You know what? Another thing that is great for the podcast are the Q&As. So when guys send you a Q&A questions, because they're all over the map, it could be gun questions, it could be rock and roll questions, it could be dog questions, you know, whatever you guys touch on, you could expand on that and expound on it and really kind of keep a valuable dialogue going for a pretty good amount of time. I mean, I love those Q&As.
Yeah, and we stick the mailbag open, you know, every once in a while we'll rustle in there. And in classic Pat Mack fashion, we kind of do our sound effects. We rumble some paper. You know,
all right.
Nice. Kind of like their certificate of victory.
Certificate of victory. Man, that's some theater that never gets old. You know, there's a story behind, for those of, because I know that there's at least some of your listeners out there who have received or have been in company of somebody who has received a certificate of victory.
Very distinguished group, by the way.
And and so that was born out of the unit when we were doing Bosnia stuff. And we were on the bubble for, I'm not going to say his name here, but some dude. And we were in one of those clamshells in Tuzla for, like 3 weeks just sitting there. And at night we'd play cards. And we would gamble with salt and pepper packets. And so that was our currency.
Yeah.
When guys would win, I would write them up just on a piece of scrap paper, a certificate of victory, and make a big...
Well, you guys definitely have something really great going. I enjoy listening to it. And in true fashion, as you just said, when we first went hot on the Zoom call, you're like, hey, man, this is good stuff. We've got like, we're like 3 seconds into it. Roll it up, man. Start. Don't say anything. We should be talking about this on the show. Yeah. So,
you know, like I do a lot of podcasts and I almost don't like it when guys send me a format. They send me the questions. So it's already preloaded. I'm like, eh. You know, I really don't want to even read the questions that you have for me because I think off the cuff is more genuine. Mm-hmm. I just think it is. And it's easier to listen to and it's more interesting to listen to.
Yeah. Cause you get to think like we didn't even do an intro, you know, as far as Right. Entering you as the guest, we'll do some stuff behind the scenes. But all of a sudden it's like, here's Pat Mac talk about, you know, sitting there playing the guitar or drums or whatever. I mean, what a perfect intro into it, good. You know? So,
perfect.
No, love I mean, that works out fine. Mm-hmm.
And then so, we're right into bird watching.
That's it. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
We could talk about unicycles, you know. We got wrestling in there. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, stuff you can talk about. But as far as how's the coaching squad going? Because I saw it. I think you put a post up today. You had a couple members kind of say some stuff about it, you know.
Yeah, so they're sending in testimonials, and it's been – I tell you, man, that is a good thing. I'm very pleased with the squad, with the coaching squad and with the members. And I like doing it. We do a Zoom like once a week and a live once a week. And then I keep putting up content. Like today I put up my ballistics 101 class and outfitting an AR. Mm-hmm. 5 minute video, slapped it up there. And then tons of responses. But the content I put up, it's all over the map too. I've done one on cooking. I've done one on gardening. I've done one on orienteering, first aid, go bag, outfitting the vehicle. You know, so I've done all these different posts. But it's not linear. It's stuff that's all over the map. Because I want everybody to benefit from it. And we've got a pretty eclectic group. I mean, it's a very diverse group. Some guys are, it's not just gun centric because not everybody on the coaching squad are gun guys. So I also put up a lot of workouts because a lot of that appeals to everybody, you know, the workout stuff, especially my program because it's performance based. It appeals to a broader demographic to work. So I put up a lot of workout vids on there too, but it's going very well. I love it.
So for our listeners, the Coaching Squad is an online service that folks can subscribe to that has all your content that you were just describing. And how often do you put that out? Where can they go to get it?
Well, it's linked in like the bio of my IG.
Okay.
You know, my T-Max Inc. IG, it's linked in there. But it's Patreon, Keep the Blaze Alive Coaching Squad. It's a lot of fun and... Man, CJ puts out great information on how to be an entrepreneur and just life lesson stuff, but he puts out a lot of information. And there's 3 different tiers, tier 3 to tier 1, you know, that guys can sign up for.
What's the quick rundown on the tiers, Pat?
Well, tier 3, you get all of my video content. And then fast forward to tier 1, you get all of CJ's business building, and you get the live Zoom call too, where we've got everybody up. We've got like 60 different screens of everybody, and we just chime in, and that's a lot of fun because we have, you know, we have guys take turns and they'll chime in and talk about they'll either ask a question or talk about something of value that they got out of the coaching squad and that they were able to act on immediately and benefit from. Regardless of what tier, it's really good bang for the buck. I mean, just the information I'm putting out alone, it's good. I mean, it's good freaking information, man. I mean, you're getting a lot of classes. I mean, handgun classes, fighting classes, like I said, orienteering, first aid, all of the Sentinel stuff, and a lot of basic dude stuff.
There you go, man.
Great patent pending, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah, good, man. Yeah. I got a lawyer for it.
Nice.
Yep. Good for you, man. Mm-hmm. So what's kind of a basic day in the life of Pat Mack like?
It starts the day before. And this is something you and I have talked about. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about it on podcasts too, especially for like retired military guys. Structure, right? We need structure. We need to be mission focused, right? We need to have a scheme of maneuver. So it starts the day before where I have three whiteboards I work off of. I have a year calendar. I have this week's tasks are the ones in my laundry room, stuff that's, you know, this week, like it's podcasts and stuff like that. And then I have tomorrow's events, and that's in the kitchen. It's a small one. So before I go to bed, I make sure that thing has my task, my essential task list written down. Most of them, you know, are chores. I know what I need to do. I know that I don't need to check my email on. I know I need to do that. It has all the stuff that I need to take care of tomorrow as far as like my chore task list and then even maybe my grocery list, right? But chores, because I can't stay stagnant, especially, you know, now that I'm not traveling as much, we're not traveling as much. I need to stay busy. So it starts the day before. So when I get up in the morning, I see that mission essential task list there, you know, I'm like, bam, this is the shit that I need to attack today. And I'll even have my workout on there, whether it's power, strength, speed, and quickness, hypertrophy, the workout that I'm going to hit that day. So that's on my task list. So I need to do it. I have to do it sometime during the day. But I love to start the day out. So my routine, first thing is I drink a quart of water. Drink a quart of water and then watch a little bit of news, but I watch it through a filter. And then I wait for my wife to get up because I want to bring her a cup of coffee in bed. That starts my day. You know, if I could beat her out of bed and bring her a cup of coffee, you know, that's my first accomplishment of the day. And she never takes it for granted, ever.
Yeah.
You know? And then, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, do you set an alarm or you just kind of get up whenever?
No, yeah. Get up with the light, kind of thing. Yep. I set an alarm if I have to, but during this whole coronation thing, I haven't been, and I'm not a super early riser because I'm a late go to bedder. I mean, I'm up till midnight because I like hanging out at night because I kind of decompress starting like after this podcast. I'll pour a bourbon and I've got my kids staying with me now. So I'll water the backyard and the garden. We might watch some ridiculous TV and chew the fat. Bring her coffee, and then I walk the dog, especially summer, walk them when it's early. Mm-hmm. And not only am I walking them, we have a trail that we walk on, but I'm taking in all the sights and sounds, you know, all the birds, all the animals, whatever. It's looking for, you know, a plant that I haven't identified. And I've got an app on my phone. So what is this plant? And you snap a picture of it, brings it up. And anyway, and then I start my chore list. But I've got a mountain of soch to get through too. So I do spend time on that because it's a mountain, you know. So I spend time on answering a few questions on soch, not too many. But even if I'm answering and just giving a guy a like, you know, giving somebody a like or sharing something, I'm making sure I'm doing that. And then I got to filter through the email because, like I said, I run my own admin. So all my own, you know, course registration, fulfillment for booty. I'll have to make runs to the post office to ship stuff. But my days are usually jam freaking packed. The best time during the day is like when my wife Rebecca works. She works downtown, and she'll text me around 6 at night or so. and say, hey, I'll be off in an hour. I'm like, I'm coming to meet you, because that's when I could shut everything off, click, mm-hmm. and go share a pint with her somewhere downtown. Because I have a saying, you know, every night is Saturday night, every morning is Monday morning. And when you're working for yourself, you know, you have to shut down at some point. You can't just, because mm-hmm. if I stay home, I'm probably going to be on this computer. You know, yep. I'm probably going to turn it back on. So I need, even if I'm here, I'm going to shut my office door at some point, pour a beer, pour a glass of bourbon, maybe fire up a cigar, hang out in the backyard, watch the grass grow, you know, look at the birds, thumb through a book, that kind of thing. But Dave's been, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think that's a key thing that I know that's something I struggle with, is just finding that shut off switch, mm-hmm. you know, because especially if you've got business partners out in the West Coast, man, they'll shoot you, you know, a phone call, a text or something, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock their time. It's right. 7, 8, you know, 7, 8. And you're like, man, I've been waiting on this guy to get back with me.
Right.
And then you're like, here we go. And it's this, yep. this vicious cycle, man. So, no, I hear you.
Yep. That's a tough one, you know, to deal with, especially when you've got business partners or probable or possible business on another coast and you've got all those mm-hmm. time zones. It's like, damn it. I was mm-hmm. hoping to shut down, but I make a point of it. You know, I make a hard point of shutting down at a certain time, and I think it's very healthy. Mm-hmm. Because I want to go to bed in a good mood, wake up in a good mood, and I've been doing that for a long time now. I mean, because there was a time when I was not living that life at all. I mean, mm-hmm. go to bed angry, wake up angry. You know, and I can't. You can't sustain that. It's going to have an adverse effect on your psyche that is irreversible at some point.
There you go. Yep. There it is, guys. Yep. Rebecca, what's going on?
Hi, Rebecca. She can't shake care. She says hi.
Well, see, that's awesome. That is awesome, because it makes another point that there's other folks that are in our lives that, you know, deserve that time as well. You know, the hobbies are great because they can always join in if they're interested. And a lot of times they will be, just to spend time. And it's away from all the admin and some of the other things that, you know, we have responsible yeah. for. Because you can look at those emails and that social media all the time if you let yourself.
You can. I mean, I've got, you know, a YouTube channel. I've got LinkedIn. I got 3 Facebooks. I don't even know how to use Facebook.
I don't think anybody does.
I've got the Patreon group, and then I've got the Instagram, and that's a lot. But you got to minimize it, and you definitely have to quell the herd on who you're following, you know, on social, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of visceral stuff out there. And even if you agree with it, that visceral, shrill stuff can have an effect on your psyche, because there's a lot of just negative stuff being posted right now.
Yeah.
Even if you agree with it, it's still negative. So yeah. I've been quelling the herd, like Facebook and Instagram, and just cutting people away who radiating, you know, this negative type of energy. Because you don't need that. You really don't need that nope. in your life. It's not good, because it's contagious. It's going to have an adverse effect on you. It's going to. It's going to stick somehow, you know. And I realized it, like when I'm mowing my lawn, and I'm thinking about a post that somebody put up that's just a horrible, like ultra left freaking hate America type of post. And now I'm thinking about it for a couple hours while I'm mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, let me just trim that fat. Let me just quell the herd and just not see it.
And I think it goes back to what you said, Pat, you know, with CJ, it's like, hey, don't suck. Right. You know, so it's take all these other people, all their negativity, all this crap, and sit there and go, hey, people, check it out. We live in the greatest country in the world. Mm-hmm. We have all the freedoms that you can shake a stick at, yet you want to sit there and hoop holler or whatever. Use that for your own little crew and just, you know, try to keep yourself happy and stay with, you know, that circle that kind of has the same views as you, just so you're not getting sucked into all that crap. Because like you were saying, I don't even watch the news anymore.
It's very hard. It's very hard. I watch a little bit of it. I have a couple programs I watch a few minutes of just to kind of get caught up. Understand that when people post miserable stuff, they are unhappy and they want you to marinate in their misery. Mm-hmm. They want you there with them.
Yeah.
They want to bring you down. And that's the media. The media is doing that. Sorry. So the media's job is not to report the news. It's to report the narrative. and they want people to be, they want division. They want people to be angry because there's money in it for them. There's money in it for them. You know, there's no money in good stuff. And there's a lot of good stuff happening right now. A lot. There's a lot of it, but there's no, it doesn't sell.
No.
You know, visceral, shrill, hate. That shit freaking sells.
Yeah, man. You know, so hopefully, you know, with everything we've got going on, that stuff will kind of, you know, squelch things, get back to normal. Because I know, like you brought up earlier, all this rubbish has just kind of smashed us as far as, you know, I know you were trimming down your class, you know, kind of schedule anyway. But, you know, kind of for the rest of us out there, it's trying to scramble. How do we get 2020 back together? How do we, you know, figure out what's going on? Mm-hmm. When's the next time they're going to put travel restrictions, which some states are already doing. And it's like out of control off of a lot what the media put out. They just didn't know. So they just pumped out some information. They put that fear out there in the public. People were just sucking it all up. Then it's like, all right, where do we go? What do we do? And still, we're nowhere closer for sitting in our houses for umpteen months to getting this thing under control.
We're not. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but if this were not an election year, we wouldn't be in quarantine.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's
right.
No freaking doubt. We no would doubt. Not be. If this were not an election year, we wouldn't. Yep. I mean, we just open shit up and say, well, because we're all going to catch this thing eventually.
Yeah.
I think I'm pretty sure I already had it because I had my last travel course was in March. And on the second day, I was sick and it felt like a really, really bad cold. Right. On the second day, it was before we just started hearing about it. I drove home and I felt like shit. And I told Rebecca, hey, I'm going to quarantine when we get home because I feel like freaking poop. 4 days later, a guy from the class emailed and said he tested positive for COVID. So I emailed everybody and said, hey, so-and-so, you know, said this. So just quarantine yourself for 14 days. So I may have had it already. I don't know, but I really don't give a shit. I'm not afraid of getting it because it's only killing people with self-existing or pre-existing conditions. And most of those pre-existing conditions are self-perpetuated. So respiratory diseases, obesity. You can't fight the age thing. That's the other one. If you're afraid of freaking getting it, just don't go out anywhere. Right. I'm not afraid of getting it, but I never have been because I'm not going to touch some freaking nasty crap and put my fingers in my mouth, my nose, my eyeball. That's how you get it.
Exactly. And that's common sense, right? So to sit there and go, when the CDC first puts out guidance, hey, wash your hands and don't put your fingers in your mouth. You're like, I'm not three, man. You know, I mean, that's something you're telling
me. No, but most people are.
No,
most people are gross.
Yeah, and I get it, man. It's just, you know, just that misinformation. It's like you said, put out what you know. If you don't know anything, quit stirring fear, for lack of better terms. Because like you said, I believe a whole bunch of people have had it and don't even know it. Because
Yeah, most people, I think, what, it's close to 70% are asymptomatic. And there's a reason why. Media, and you hit the nail on the head, Pat, is they're putting out the numbers of new cases. They don't mention the hospitalizations. They don't mention the death rate because it's really, really low. And you said, if it doesn't fit the narrative, it's not going to be leading or even mentioned.
What the media, the only right now with all this freaking crap going on, right, with this fake because it's the racial thing is artificial too, drawn up by the media. I mean, they are pumping that narrative hard. This whole freaking racial thing. They need to push this narrative to keep themselves, you know, afloat. They have to have it. Like they have to have the left media has to keep racism alive so they could point your finger at you and call you a racist, for example. They were so bummed out when that Wallace was a hoax. They were pissed off. They needed that.
Yeah, you don't hear about that anymore. And you're right. If Trump wasn't in the office and he wasn't the person who's going to be unseated, they wouldn't be mentioning half of this stuff. And it's obvious. So like you said, you got to filter through that on your own. It's an individual responsibility to do that as well. So I'm not taking all the burden of throwing it on the folks that are pushing this crap down my throat because I can decide on my own.
I know I can. I've always traveled with Lysol wipes in my car, bro.
Roger that.
I mean, that's just basic stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, especially being out in the range, sit there and get that crap off your hands, you know, before you have lunch or whatever the case may be. I mean, come on, man. But, you know, I think we were talking about this before, Pat. It has at least got people, and you're starting to see the shift back a little bit, but initially people would at least walk around parking lots, you know, in the stores, at least with their head up, halfway being aware, whether they were taking in, you know, the people around them or whatever. But I think you're starting to see kind of that situational awareness, for lack of better terms, kind of start dropping off again.
Yep.
Because, well, now we've got our protection. Stick a mask on your face. Everyone's right back to sitting on their phone, kind of walking and texting or doing whatever they're doing. It's like, you know, the little bit that was gained quickly fell off, and we're right back to kind of square one again, you know?
Yeah, I'm still one of those optimists, though. I think that there'll be a lot of good that comes from this. One is the, you know, the family unit. People are testing, you know, mm-hmm. testing how good their family unit is. And there's a lot of people who, you know, did a nosedive at the beginning of this.
Yeah.
I mean, nosedive, like massive fights. And,
oh, yeah.
And they plateaued out and started making a steady incline. They're like, mm-hmm. you know what? This is pretty freaking good, man. I'm starting to enjoy this more. You know, I'm doing shit with my kids, and I'm doing things with my wife that I haven't done before. But I think, you know, for those of us who've had to quarantine and weren't essential, people are forced to be creative and use their imagination and stuff like that as well. Forced to improvise. So I think there'll be a lot of good that comes out of this. And then, like Rick was saying, that's something I noticed was proprioception, you know, awareness of your body and space. And you go into a Harris Theater or something and people are looking around. You hear it. Three aisles over.
Oh, yeah.
And people are, you know, they're not crowding you, and they're aware of their surroundings a lot more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they'll go back to being unaware, 45 degree syndrome, fat, happy, complacent, flaccid button pushers, you know, in no time. But well, in the interim, it's a good thing.
Go ahead, buddy.
No, I was just going to say, we'll see, you know, I know a lot of people starting to get the whole home gym. I know you've got the, you know, on your IG stuff, we'll just dub it your prison workouts, for lack of better terms.
Yeah,
you know?
I love it.
I mean, you know, just look at the balance board you use, for example. Mm-hmm. Old, I don't know if that was just old scrap metal you had around, just kind of welded it up together, you know, but you're starting to see at least people think outside the box, them to go, hey, what can I do, or what do I have around to work out? Because there was a time and place you couldn't get any type of fitness equipment. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't have it, you were like out of luck.
Yeah, man, it's neat because a lot of people, as you could imagine, since I do the workout stuff, a lot of people are sending me their innovations, you know, shit that they made for a home gym. And I'm like, damn, that is cool, bro. You got skills, you know, that is neat. Really freaking innovative stuff. Or people are just doing more with less. Mm-hmm. You know, like, well, these are the things I have around. I am going to do something with them. Like, you've probably seen all the different stuff I've done with my ladder. That ladder, yeah, in the driveway.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh my God, I've got one of those ladders. I could do incline bench press. I could do dips. I could do flies with bands. I could do all this stuff with my ladder.
Well, here's what I realized, Pat, right? So, of course, I've got my graphic training aid.
For yeah, baby.
To get you some bands. Mm-hmm. But then I started realizing, well, I have a set. That's cool. But then you're only working in certain, you know, workouts. I can't work both. I'm sitting there going, all right, let me work one, work the other. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of those going, you know, you don't think about it initially. And I don't know if you kind of did when the bands first came out, you know, I know it was kind of by the set of bands, mm-hmm. but now when you know, you're doing your workouts, whatever it may be, and you've got two going, I sit there going, man.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just,
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot you could do with just one set, though. And I make sure I put those workouts out.
But, you know, the snap link on there.
Yep.
Because, again, where I got the truck, I've got the tie-down points. Mm-hmm. It's easy to snap it right in there.
Yep.
You know, and I got, you know, a couple of them in there. You just snap them in there. It's good to go. And definitely good stuff there.
Right on. Absolutely.
So what do you got in the future, Pat?
You know what I started doing recently was rewriting my Sentinel book.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, it needs an update. It's a really good book. It's still valid, but it's not current. When you read a lot of chapters, it's not current. You know, I mean, I talk about, you know, having emergency quarters on you to use a payphone, that kind of shit. I saw a payphone the other day in a parking lot.
Wow.
I said to Rebecca, I said, check that out, payphone.
What's that? Yeah.
Did it work?
No.
Did you check it?
No. Yeah. No. I'm sure it didn't. But it was amazing that it wasn't like vandalized, that it was still mm-hmm. like sitting there. I forget what that was. I got to ask for it.
Well, I can tell you right now, the COVID's not helping the payphone industry because every nasty person that walks by touches it, you're going to go home with it.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah, forget about that.
But I started rewriting the Sentinel book. That's one of the things I'm hoping to concentrate on. I started dabbling with the concept of a children's book, and I started taking notes down. Now, with the children's book, because I was talking about it on a podcast, when I loved when my kids were small, reading to them every night to them, and it was the same books. They loved the same books. But the books had big, bold pictures, big, bold print. There weren't a lot of words, and they weren't big words. It was very simple. It was very rhymy. It was very rhythmic. You know, it had a nice rhythm to it. I went, you know what? I could do that. And I could make it about, I'm kind of giving it up a little bit, but I could make it about like awareness without telling these little kids that it's about awareness. So how could a kid become aware? Like, let's say he's driving his car. How about freaking bird watching? You know, just looking at different birds, recognizing just simple, the difference between a robin, a blue jay, and a cardinal, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But so that's another concept that I have. I'm refining and defining always my combat strength training program. I'm going to do nothing but local courses and a lot of private ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, private stuff.
Is that just for the combat strength training, or is that for all your programs?
For the courses, what I mean are shooting courses.
Okay.
So just the shooting courses, I'm going to do local from starting in 20, because I have two travel ones left this year. No more. I'm done with it. I'm freaking tired of that, man. That was a long haul. It was a, you know, full decade every weekend, dragging all your shit to the airport.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Flying to a different state, checking into a different freaking shitty hotel.
Yeah.
Picking up your rental car, driving to the range, going to Walmart, getting your lunch for the next day, getting to the range early, setting it up, finding out that they don't have your targets or that they don't have steel, that the range is too small.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all that stuff. And the other thing is, I want to bring more people like you on, Rick, how I brought, you know, how we teamed up and just mm-hmm. watched Lay of the Land, range work stuff. For guys who want to get into that industry. Yeah. Another thing that some guys are doing is, for listeners out there, I am not opening this up, but I've done it, where there's been vets who asked, could they just come out and watch? And I'm like, hell yeah, man. You could freaking, mm-hmm. You could set some targets up, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's the important thing, right, Pat, is kind of giving back to those guys, because here's the thing, you know, we've had numerous mistakes over the years. You know, mm-hmm. we've unfortunately stumbled. And I think that's a big thing with, you know, guys getting out. If you're kind of prepping for your future, if you want to say that 6-month window or whatever the Army gives you nowadays prior to getting out, man, you're behind the power curve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
So sure. that was like with me. I thought I walked out going, man, I'm like at the 80% solution here. Till I get companies going, hey, what's your website? What's your social? What's this? And I'm like, huh? I need that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just...
What's your Duns and Cage code?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, oh, by the way, if you want to be a service-disabled veteran-owned small business, you've got to be in business at least three years before they'll even, you know, allow you to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's how do you set things up for success prior to? And I think that's a thing that the military does wrong for guys is not laying that groundwork early enough where, mm-hmm. all right, hey, you go to your whatever silly classes they are, that really don't teach anything. I mean, I did the boost to business just to go through that. It's like, I walked away with nothing except how to figure out some type of business plan and then go to SBA for your loan.
Oh.
All right. Mm-hmm. You know, didn't teach you nothing about social, nothing about marketing,
right.
Nothing about, you know, trademark, patents, any of that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's so much to it. So it's like, you know, spot on for you. And me and Mark, we've done, you know, a podcast on the veteran entrepreneurship as far as struggles and stuff. And I think that's the best way for guys is really trying to pass on to these guys getting out. Hey man, here's my lessons. Come out and see what I'm doing. Here's how, you know, I was able to market, get the word out, which, you know, I still struggle today because again, if you're relying on social marketing versus media is what I call it, dude, they're repressing anything 2A. So mm-hmm. you're already in a fighting battle as it is.
Yeah, man.
So it's trying to get up with as many people as you can to spread the word and say, hey, here's what's going on. So
yep.
Good on you.
Yep, right on. Thanks. Yeah, and I'm always about helping somebody else out, you know, too. So,
Way I can. And you did it for me, bud. You know, intro to Fernando, who was our last guest on our podcast. You know, doing stuff with him. Mm-hmm. Hey, come hang out. You know, just all that mentorship. You know, from my standpoint, I mean, I greatly appreciate it, brother.
Hell yeah, bro.
So, how can people get in touch with you, Pat? I know we already hit on the T-Max.
Yeah, pretty much anywhere. I am T-Max Inc. T-M-A-C-S-I-N-C. That's my soch. It's my website. It's my Facebook. But I have a YouTube channel too, Pat Mack YouTube channel. And then I also have Combat Strength Training. And then, of course, we have the Patreon, Keep the Blaze Alive Coaching Squad. But those are my big ones right there.
So. And then don't forget, you got your podcast, The University of Badassery.
Yeah, man. That's a fun podcast, bro.
Yeah.
Buddy. Love doing it. Always a good time on that one.
Yep.
All right. Your enthusiasm and all the reach out that you've done for, you know, Rick and even doing a show for us, we really appreciate it. Everybody knows your name. You got a really good following, and I think the information that you put out about what to do for someone who's getting out of law enforcement or the military to work on their business, I'm sure they're going to listen to it because Rick and I have stumbled on a lot of this stuff ourselves, and that's that's the best lessons you're ever going to learn. Appreciate those words and really appreciate you being here with us tonight.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me, and I wish you well on your venture. This looks like a cool thing you're doing here, so... hope it goes well.
Thanks, Pat. All right, buddy.
Woo! Roll, guys.